Thank you, thank you. Keep it up. Did I mention church, children's church is dismissed? Okay, well it is. All right. It was about 7 or 8 months ago that the men's Bible study was meeting, and we got discussing the subject of worship. And what is worship? What is the significance of it? How do we go about worshiping? And that has set my mind to thinking a lot in the past 6 or 7 months. To ask myself, do I really worship when I come into God's house? And I've been talking with a few people about that, and I have come to the conclusion that in the modern day church, in many aspects, we don't really worship. And so, as I have come to some of those conclusions, I began to look at some Old Testament scriptures and the Psalms where they begin to talk about genuine worship. And the scriptures tell us several times that when we come, we are to worship God in the beauty of holiness. And that is acknowledging His holiness. And that when we come into the house of the Lord, we need to come prepared. And in being prepared, that makes a whole difference in the way that we approach worship. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but if you have a family, it seems like Satan creates chaos in the house before church. Has anybody ever noticed that? I mean, he creates chaos because he does not want families coming to church, worshiping together, praising together. He does not want them to really focus upon God, and so he'll do all kinds of things to try to disrupt that. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there are those times in life when you know, it seems as though in our spiritual lives there's no thirst. We're just kind of going through the motions. And there's no real thirst for genuine righteousness. And I'll tell you, when we go through those periods of time, we find that everything about worship is just kind of dry. You know, the sermon's dry, the singing's dry, the giving is a pain. You know, every aspect, and we're going like this during the prayer time. You know, because we're not really connecting with what worship really is. I'm going to tell you, worship is not seeing who can yell the loudest and run the fastest. That's not worship. Worship is the opening of the heart to God and offering to Him praise and glory. It is an acknowledgement of the fact that He is King of Kings, that He is Lord of Lords, and that we are amazingly privileged to have opportunity to know Him and to walk with Him. I want to share with you just some little steps that we can take to help us, if you will, with our worship. so that worship begins to take on that passion that connects us with God. Now, these are very simple things. Some of them are a little meddlesome. Some of them you're going to be able to say amen to. Some of them you're going to be saying, stop it, preacher. It's none of your business. Well, that's all right. I ain't going to stop it. Because you see, it is my business. As the spiritual shepherd of this congregation, there's going to come a time when I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an answer for every one of you as to what was taught, what was preached from this pulpit. Every sermon, every Sunday school class. And so it's important that I take seriously my role as a pastor and as a shepherd and try to protect you in any way that I can. And a part of the way that I can help to insulate is to express to you the importance of genuine worship. Because there's an awful lot that goes on in the name of worship today that's not real worship. And we need to be aware of that. So I want to share with you some things this morning. I've got 8 things marked down. We'll probably go a little deeper than that. Yeah, we can do it. You know what that means? That means it's out of my sight. In Psalm 29, the second verse, we read these words, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name, worship the Lord in holy array. Now, that doesn't mean, fellas, worship the Lord in a suit. That's not what the holy array is. In fact, it means in the beauty of holiness, it means to worship the Lord with a pure heart. It means to worship Him with gratitude and with grace and with thanksgiving for what He has provided for you in the person of His Son, Jesus. You will note in your bulletins that we have what is called an order of worship. And you know what? An order of worship is fine. Do you want to know that that was very common practice even in the early church? They had a specific form of worship that they went through and they ascribed to the glory of the Lord. And so it's perfectly okay to have an order of worship. I know there are those that say, well, we're so spiritual, we don't write that kind of stuff in a bulletin. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't make you more spiritual. But things are programmed, if you will, to try to help us in our worship as a corporate body, to try to help us to draw closer to God and closer to each other. But none of it matters if we don't come prepared. So I want to offer to you some of these possible helps. As I stated, when there is no thirst for righteousness, you know, the sermon is dry. When people have no desire to meet with God, the service just kind of drags. Church becomes more of a drudgery to those who go out of duty. But you know what? Church becomes pure joy to those who love to be in the presence of God and who love to worship Him as is ascribed by the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but all the more important as the day of Christ draws near. We need church. Church needs us. And so it's important then that we come to the church with respect for God. And I'm going to tell you, I have to ask you this. Do you respect God enough to prepare your heart for worship before you come in? And do you respect God enough to be on time? Now, Pastor, you're meddling. Yes, I am. But when we are continually late and we do not consider others in their worship, when we are continually late and we're not prepared to worship, what we find is that we are affecting the worship of those around us. And we're blocking what God wants to do. Don't thumb your nose at God. Take worship seriously. Make certain that you do the little things to show your respect to God. I want to tell you how to do that. The very first thing is come in, sit down, and pray. Pray before a service. Well, that's kind of a novel idea. Pastor, you pray for us to open the service. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about self-preparation. And in self-preparation, that means getting our heart ready, getting our spirit ready for genuine worship before God. And so come in respectfully. Take a seat. Spend a couple of moments in prayer and ask God to open you up, to do in you what He wants to do. And to direct you to what He wants you to discover. Instead of waiting till we get a quarter of the way through the service before we start to connect with God, let's connect before we ever start. Let's be disciplined enough to honor the Lord with our whole heart, to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And that comes about while we submit ourselves and seek Him even before the worship service begins. Be on time. Pray before the service. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know what to pray for when you come in the doors, pray for me. I'll be glad to take all the prayers I can get. All right, so if you want to waste them on someone, waste them on me if you don't want to earnestly search your own self before service. So pray before the service. Next, sing. Sing in praise to God. The Bible tells us to make a joyful noise. It doesn't say to sing on key. It says to make a joyful noise. Praising God is an important aspect, and singing is an important aspect of praising God. All right? It really is. And so it's perfectly okay, even if you're the worst singer in the world, to just sing out, because the worst singer in the world praising God is music to his ears. And it's music to his heart. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. He dwells there. And when there's a hymn being sung, or whether it is a scriptural song, or whether it's a psalm, or whatever it is, if there is singing going on, join in. As we corporately worship and sing and praise, we make a difference in one another's lives. Sing out. Sing praises unto the Lord. Give glory to Him by honoring Him, even in your singing. Next, give with a joyful heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know that receiving the offering is not the intermission? You realize that? That's not intermission. It's not to give our voices a rest, but it's part of worship. It's a part of honoring God and thanking Him for what He has provided for us. And in fact, when we don't honor God with the tithe, I'm sorry, folks, He doesn't bless us the way that He wants to. Just notice the book of Malachi. We've just been through this on Sunday evenings. We just finished the book of Malachi. I want you to listen to what God says in this particular passage. Malachi chapter 3. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." In other words, I'm a God of mercy. And even though there are those times when you are walking in sin, you're fortunate I don't change, because I'm merciful and I'm loving and I can fry you on the spot. I choose not to do that. He says, "From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, isn't that interesting? That God connects punishment of the nation and plagues of nature because the people wouldn't tithe. It's important. If we want to be blessed, we need to bring the tithe. Worship in giving your tithe. Like I said, it's not an intermission. It's a time of worship, and it's important that we honor God with that in our lives. The next one is that we need to agree together in prayer. When we have what's called in our bulletins a pastoral prayer time, that's a corporate prayer time. It really is, where we take before the Lord our requests, but we also ascribe to Him the glory that's due to His name. And so whenever we're having that corporate time of prayer, now catch this, discipline your mind to pay attention. Discipline your mind so that you can agree. How many here, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, how many here believe that God can heal? How many here believe that God wants to heal? How many fall asleep during the prayer time? How many allow their minds to wander during the prayer time? You see, we're not focused. We're not focused. When that becomes a part of our life, and we're not agreeing in prayer when we're distracted. And I'll tell you what, it's exactly what Satan wants. He wants us distracted during prayer so that we don't agree on what God wants to do. Focus on prayer so that we can agree. You remember what Jesus said? If any two of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done what? By him in heaven. So it's important that in corporate prayer we find ourselves in agreement and wanting God to move and wanting him to bless, because we need to have agreement in order to have unity. Agree in prayer. So focus and pay attention to what is taking place. Next one. When it comes to the message, open your Bible and follow along. Open your Bible and follow along. Now, I realize that today's message is not one that lends itself to that particular movement. But this is a rare type of message for us. Usually, we have a passage of Scripture that we're dealing with, or a subject material where we're jumping back and forth a little bit. But I encourage you, know your Bible and open your Bible and follow along. God speaks through His Word. And folks, when people do not follow the Word of God, that's how they get misled. And that's how they find themselves wrapped up in all kinds of things. That God's going, ay, 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 ay. What are they doing? Or God's going, I wrote it right there. Follow along. The Apostle Paul was writing to the young preacher Timothy. And a very familiar verse of Scripture says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we just jump on that and we say, yes, sir, Lord, you keep those preachers in line. You keep those young Timothys in line and you keep them going right. Now, as far as me, I don't like to read because I don't like to read. I won't. But boy, you keep that preacher going right. Folks, that's not study. And the word gone down to Timothy is for each and every one of us. Because we are all workmen in God's kingdom. We are all workmen. And so it's important that we all study. And a part of that study becomes opening up our Bibles together and reading and following along and catching insight into God's Word. Don't be afraid to open your Bible. And don't be embarrassed if you're brand new at that, in using the front of your Bible to find out what page a particular book starts on. That's all right. That's okay. That's how you learn. It's okay to do that. But the more familiar you get with the Word of God, the more important it becomes to you when you become more familiar. Study to show yourself approved so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. I'll tell you, once again, there's an awful lot going on in the name of Christianity that is not biblical. But people are being led astray by it continually because they're not willing to study the word of God. Study. It's important. If you know what God's Word teaches, you'll never be led astray. But if you don't, you're going to fall for every wind and wave of doctrine that comes along. Paul also told Timothy, look, you keep your doctrine pure. As a shepherd, you keep your doctrine pure. You know what pure doctrine is? It's the Word of God and nothing else. That's what it is. It's the Word of God and it's not emotions, it's not feeling, it's not excitement, it's not any of that stuff. It is knowing the Word of God. Timothy, you keep your doctrine pure. Pure. Do you know why he tells Timothy that? Because Timothy's going to stand before God and he's going to answer to him for the truth of God's Word. That's why I take this so seriously, because someday I'm going to stand before God and he's going to look at me and he's going to say, Srigliano, why did you allow this? Why did you allow that? Why didn't you aggressively deal with this? I'm not going to have an answer because he's right. But if I stick with the Word, I don't have to tremble in front of God. I have to be humble, yes, but I don't have to tremble. I have to revere him, yes, but I don't have to be afraid of him. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to compromise the Word to make you feel good. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to teach and preach the Word whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, that's why you call the superintendent. Feel free. But I have to teach the Word and stick with it. And so open your Bible and follow along and test. Test what's being taught. Now, the next one is this. When we have that time of invitation, that's a time of searching our hearts. That's not a time to be looking around, seeing what our neighbor's doing. It's not a time to walk out and go to the restroom. There's nothing more disrupting than people walking out of a worship service at a moment of invitation and disrupting things. Don't do it. Things are almost over by the time we get to that invitation. Stick with it. Who knows? God may even speak to you. Think it through. But in that moment of time when we have the invitation, we need to search our own heart and ask God, God, what's in this message that's important for me? What do I need out of this? That becomes important. The next one is this. At the close of the service, fellowship with God's people. Fellowship. Take a moment. Connect with someone. Well, that's what we do before the service, and that's why we're doing all this visiting and talking and chatting and laughing until the music begins. No. Remember, we talked about that first. We're going to spend a little time in prayer, asking God to prepare our hearts for what's to come in the service. At the close of the service, we can fellowship together, shake hands, smile at someone, tell them you're glad to see them, tell them you're glad that they're here. Go up to a Sunday school teacher that you had when you were a kid and say, hey, I want you to know you impacted my life. And I want to thank you. Don't be ashamed to do that. That Sunday school teacher that's still teaching or may be retired may look at their life and they'll say, you know what, it wasn't all wasted. It was actually something that meant something to someone. Fellowship. That's all right. And then last, when you walk out the doors, walk out into the harvest field to serve. Walk out to serve. This harvest field is huge. There aren't very many workers. There are many who are lost. Approach them about Christ. Leave to serve God and to honor Him. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you take these very simple things to heart and include them in your life of worship, worship will take on brand new significance to you. I encourage you, worship God in the beauty of holiness. Worship Him in holy array. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship Him with all of your body, soul, mind, and strength. Worship Him in integrity. And worship becomes brand new. And its impact becomes powerful. Let's stand. I had a song that we were going to do, but we're not going to do it. I'm going to ask Matt to come. He's going to lead us in a benediction, but I just want us to pray. To just kind of close this service with a word of prayer. And let's ask God to search us, every one of us, every one of us. Let's ask God to just search us and to give us a glimpse of what He wants for us to do and to be so that we can honor Him. So let's pray. Our gracious Father, You're incredible. Father, You are so loving, so gracious and kind. Father, You are just so amazingly involved and interested in our lives. And Father, You are so much reaching out to us. You are reaching to us to make a difference, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those that You want us to minister to. So, Father, help us to focus, to worship You in truth and in integrity. Teach us that in everything that we do, we are representing You. And Father, we'll give You thanks and we'll give You praise, for You are the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are the great Creator and we are the created. Help us to keep those things separate. And we'll give You praise, for it's in Your incredible and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.